Moses had an encounter with God in Exodus chapter 33. You know, God says, hey, I'm going to send you and your people to the promised land, but I'm not going. I'm going to send my angel with you. Moses is like, no. Remember, Moses, he encountered God's presence. He knows what it's about. You know, so anyhow, I want to pray for Mercer. Where is he? Come back here, buddy. Mercer, come here. Let's pray for Mercer. We're going to bless you. He's going to go away for just a little bit. Just a little bit. He'll be back. Sit down. Let's stretch our hands over him. Father, we thank you for Mercer. Thank you for your son. Thank you for sending him back to us. And as he continue to pursue his dream, his calling to become the what are you going to be becoming again? Okay, naval officer. All right. Forgot about that. So yes, Lord, as he's on this journey, Father, we bless him. We ask that the Spirit of the Lord would rest on him. As he go forth, he goes and interact, intermingle into a culture that is so godless. But yet, I pray that the seed that were planted in Mercer's heart would produce fruit. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would keep him. You would cause your face to shine upon him. Father, I pray for boldness. Boldness. Continue to reveal yourself to Mercer. Continue to give him a desire to read your Bible. People might think he is weird reading the Bible, but Lord God, let him be weird for you. Let him be crazy for you, Father. We love Mercer. You know, he's our family, and we look forward to having him back again for Christmas break. But we thank you for this opportunity that he had to be with us in the past couple of months and serve you with the gifts that he has to play and to serve behind the cameras wherever he was needed. He was willing. So, Father, today we bless him, for your word says whatever we bless here is also blessed. May Mercer go with your favor and your grace upon him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, man. Go ahead. Go change your world. Well, let's take, I'll ask the ushers. Let's pass the offering. That's another way to worship the Lord. Thank you guys for supporting this ministry. You know, we need money, but we're also going to trust God will continue to provide for our needs. So as they pass it around, I'm just going to pray. Lord, we thank you for those faithful tithers, even those that are not just faithful. Bless them anyway. Cause their heart to just realize that you are the source. So, Father, as we give to you, we pray that you would continue to allow us to be good stewards, people that take care of the money, wise, that, you know, direct the money to the right direction. But Lord, you know, we understand, and I confess as the leader here, God, you are the source. You are the source. Thank you for all of us that has a job, and we thank you for just giving us the opportunity to provide for our family. So allow us to continue to be faithful to you and to worship you with our possession. For where our heart is, that's where we put our money. And we don't want to put our money in our heart. Our hearts in our money. We want to put our hearts on you and our faith in you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So all throughout the week, we're having soaking. Soaking is a time to pray. Come on, spend some time in prayer. If you are able, come join us. If you're not, find us on Facebook or on our webpage. Or on YouTube, we always put it. But guys, take time to be with the Lord more than ever. Take time to read your Bibles. Take time to meditate. Take time. Take time to worship him. Protect that relationship with the Lord. You know, and this morning, I am so thankful that our spiritual authority, our father, my friend, is here with us. It's always good. I told him once every 3 months he should make his way up here. And so far, he's doing pretty good, isn't he? So let's put our hands together while we receive our brother and pastor, Kenton.
Oh, it's always good to be with you guys. Nancy's with me today, and I'm thankful for that. It makes traveling. Yes, give her a hand. Thank you. It's interesting how the Holy Spirit orders things and organizes the testimony that we had. I want to talk a little bit about my trip to Ukraine. I spent 19 days in Ukraine in June and saw God do some really, really neat things. But I want to set the context a little bit. And so let's pray together. Father, give us ears to hear what you're speaking to us. And Lord, I pray that that you will put our word in our hearts, and our hearts would be and contain good soil this morning. And Lord, that the seed of your word would grow in us, take root, become strong in us. And Lord, that as it grows, that Lord, your purposes would be accomplished and worked out with it, that we would be blessed. But Lord, that you would be glorified and that you would move among us and through us to change, Lord, the lives, the people, the situations, the circumstances that, Lord, we would have authority over. And so we thank you, we bless you, we praise you. Give us ears to hear what you're speaking to each of us individually. Give us ears to hear what you're speaking to this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to share some scripture with you. I invite you to look to, it's going to be quick, sort of quick. Before I went to Ukraine, about 2 weeks before, the Holy Spirit dropped this phrase in my spirit, I will overshadow you. And I had never really heard that before, didn't know exactly what that meant. That seemed like a little bit of an odd thing. So I started looking in the scripture about this idea of the Lord overshadowing. And so that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. On Saturday night, before I left on Tuesday, I heard a sermon. Nancy and I went to this other congregation because we could, and we were free Saturday night. And the pastor, who I know pretty well, was preaching, and his title was on overshadowing. And so I'm like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And many times as I ministered in Ukraine, that Holy Spirit brought that phrase back to my mind, I will overshadow you, or I am overshadowing you. Psalm 91, starting in verse 1 and 2, says this, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. It's exactly what Ricardo was saying. Guard your relationship with the Lord. This is where you find your strength. This is where you find your peace. But this is where you find power as well. But it's not because you want power. It's because he gives you power as he ministers through you. So we are to live there. We're to abide there under the shadow of the Most High. That's our responsibility as sons and daughters of God. It's not about just making somehow, you know, we're going to set aside 2 hours for a Sunday morning. That's good. It's not just about saying, well, I'm going to have a 10-minute devotional in the morning. That's good too, but it's about an ongoing relationship with the Lord that as you go, you realize that you're abiding in the presence of God. Okay, so if we're abiding in the presence of God, that means we live there, we stay there. In 1 John 1, 5, and 7, it kind of, it brings a little bit of a different perspective. This is the message which you have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk or live in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Okay? So, God here is likened to light. What happens when light shines upon you? It casts a shadow, right? So I don't know if I am casting a little bit of a shadow here. The light is shining. I don't know if you can see my hands here. They're coming down the steps, at least from my vantage point, okay? So the light is, and that's the picture that's here. When we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that His shadow casts a shadow and calls it His light casts us to cast a shadow. Does that make sense? Okay, now the active ingredient here is the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts 1:8, but you, our spirit is activated by the Holy Spirit in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Okay, so we all come to the Lord because the Spirit draws us. So when you came to the Lord, the Holy Spirit came to reside in you. That's great. It also says then, in Acts 1:8, our shadow then is empowered by the Holy Spirit. His light shining on us, casting a shadow, empowers that shadow. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So it's not just about Holy Spirit in us, it's Holy Spirit upon us. Holy Spirit upon us is God shining His light on our lives, casting a shadow, and that shadow is the ministry aspect of our lives that God wants to bring and utilize for each of us to bring change, to bring transformation, whatever. Now Peter, the Apostle Peter, gives us an illustration of this. In Acts 5, we read this story starting in verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of them dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. What caused Peter's shadow to bring healing to the people that he was passing by? Was it just the normal sun? No, Peter was dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. The light of God was shining on Peter so that it cast a shadow. As he ministered, as he walked, simply as he lived, his shadow brought change and healing to people's lives. In fact, it was so powerful, the next verse says that it attracted many to Jesus. It says in Acts 5:16, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Peter's shadow brought healing. Do you realize that each of us, if we dwell in Christ, cast a shadow? We cast that same shadow. It's the same thing that Peter experienced, we can experience as well. The Bible says as God's people, we're called to do mighty things. It says in Daniel 11:32, but the people who know their God shall be strong and will carry out great exploits. What are those exploits? Are those great things in the natural? Maybe. But I believe they're great things, spiritual things, supernatural things. The things that God moves and works through each of us, a purpose, a plan, a destiny that He has for each of us that we cannot in and of ourselves on our own accomplish. But that Him through us, His shadow, Him overshadowing us, allowing our shadow to move ahead. Do you realize that you cast a shadow? That God shining His light on you, if you are a believer, you cast a shadow. And that is what God made clear to me through the Holy Spirit speaking, said, I will overshadow you. As I ministered, He brought this to my mind. Let me describe. One of the things that has been very real for myself, how many of you remember Pastor Seth Adkins. He and I went together. We went together to this. We were there for impartation, not just information. Do you understand the difference? Teachers teach. That's great. But prophets, apostles, evangelists, they impart. Because it's not just about learning more knowledge about God. We all have a lot of knowledge about God. It's about what you apply to your life is what makes a difference. Does that make sense? It's about what God wants to apply. You can learn all kinds of knowledge and go to hell. You can have all kinds of knowledge about God and go to hell. Because if you don't embrace it, if you don't accept it, if you don't live it, then it's not worthwhile. God's not looking for you to write a book. He's looking to write His book on your heart. He's looking for submission. He's looking for you to, and so we were there to impart the prophetic word, to impart training, to really activate those things. We traveled to 4 different locations. And it was an intense schedule. On average, we were there about 12 hours a day of ministry, literally without break. About 9:30 in the morning, we would end up at the church or the facility or wherever they were, and we would get there. And many times we would do leader training. And what we meant by that was we would train them to pray for one another. How many of you know how to pray for someone? Okay, so we need to do that training here. Because see, that's just basic Christianity. That's just basic Christianity. To be able to impart the presence of the Holy Spirit to your neighbor. That's just foundational stuff. And I know it's been talked about here. The question is, why hasn't it been embraced and done? The reason is because you don't really believe anything's going to happen. And let me tell you, I will guarantee you nothing will happen unless you pray. It won't, unless you actually apply what's being taught. Nothing's going to happen. You're going to receive a lot of information. It's going to go in there. It's going to kind of stick, but until you step out in faith like this sister did that heard the word of faith and prayed for 5 hours, and guess what? Her friend who was blind now sees. That's what we're talking about. That's the kind of faith. That's the kind of power that you and I are going to need to have if we're going to survive as the years progress and as it becomes less and less of a accepted thing to believe in Jesus. As it becomes more and more a time of persecution, a time when it is not going to be politically correct to be a Christian. It's not now. But we are going to have to step. Remember what Isaiah said. The darkness increases, and oh, what a darkness. But as the light on the other side increases, and oh, what a light. Being lukewarm in the center is not going to get it. You're going to need to apply what you know, not in an informational way, but in a relational way. And Seth and I had this schedule. It's 9:30. We're teaching people to pray for one another. We're literally, okay, here's what we want you to do in your cell groups, in your small groups. You come together, you bring someone who has a need, come together, wait on the Lord, pray in tongues. If you pray in tongues, don't pray in tongues if you don't, but pray, wait on the Lord, and then let the Lord give you a picture or a word or a revelation. If you want to know what to do, read 1 Corinthians 14. It's all there. Verse 22, 23, 24, 26, that's exactly what I've talked about, but we did it. And as they began to do that, they began to sense the Lord moving through them and giving them pictures, and they're like, well, is this what you're talking about? I see this. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Does that mean something to you that's being ministered to? Well, actually it does. Oh, God just spoke. This is not hard. That's what they said. They said, well, we didn't realize it was. We thought it was a lot harder than this. This is not hard. And I have every other week I have a conference call or a Zoom call with them, with the leaders, and they're still doing it, okay? So this is after 2 months. They're still giving testimonies about what we taught them. After we would do training, 2.5, maybe 3 hours, we ate, okay? One guy in Ukraine said, eating is the national sport here. And I believed it, okay? And so we would eat. And then we would eat like for about an hour, and they would ask questions. And this wasn't like just, you know, always just eating and stuff. But then we would have what they called councils, and they would bring people in. And, you know, they'd come in and pastor is supposed to fix everything. Hallelujah. And, you know, what do? You just, but you know, the Lord said, I will overshadow you. It's amazing when you put yourself in a place where God needs to move. If something's going to happen, he does. And so we would minister, and we saw Jesus show up, literally, in people's, I mean, there's three ways, more than three ways, but there's three primary ways that God speaks to your spirit, that his spirit speaks to your spirit. In your conscience, in your intuition, that's like you just sense something, you just know something, or in your imagination, God gives you a picture. And people would see Jesus. People, and Jesus would speak to these people. And it wasn't, you know, I tend to be a seer, and I can kind of see what's being said, but it's like, well, what did Jesus say? Well, Jesus said this and this and this. And why did he say that? Well, because this and this and this happened in my life. And we're just there watching the Holy Spirit do what needed to be done, that maybe this person had an issue for years, and in about 5 minutes was resolved. We got tired. We would do these councils. Then we would go right into a service many times about 6 o'clock. That would last till 8 or 8:30. I needed to preach, teach, pray for people, whatever. And then guess what? We would eat again. Because we ate. And they ate, they had good food, okay? They would do, they did a lot of fresh vegetables at that particular time. Great strawberries. Great cherries, you know, the big kind. That was down in a place called Metatopo. I may pronounce some of these wrong. But that was like, that was on their billboard as you drive into the city. It was like, you know, we have cherries. And they were good. And but they would do summer sausage, that kind of thing. A lot of cheeses. We always had that. Really good tomatoes, fresh cucumbers, those kinds of things. But we were tired. We were, and we called it happy tired. It was like it was a good tired. But we would get up the next morning and do it again. On the whole 19 days we were there, we never got a day of break. Next time I might plan that a little different. I told them, I said, you all, we're here, we're coming here, we're going to get here on the 3rd of June, we're going to leave, we have to fly out, like I didn't need to fly on the 22nd of June. Whatever you want, whatever you got to do, that's fine. Just, schedule it out, and guess what? They took that literally, they did. Travel, we traveled at night, okay? Or like early in the morning, we would leave. And then, but because when we would get there, if we travel like early in the morning, I think we had like 5 or 6 hour drives. So guess what happened when we would leave at 4 hours in the morning and we got to the next place at 10, we would walk into the place and start training. And, same thing. We had 2 train trips that were overnight. Like leaving at 10 o'clock at night, getting there at 3 in the morning. Guess what we had to do the next morning at 10 o'clock? We had to have a service. All right. So anyway, but, there was some, God's grace was with us. Do you understand what I mean when I say God's grace? It's like many times if God calls you into a situation and you really don't feel prepared, or you really don't feel like you have the energy for it, or you really don't feel like you're wise enough, talented enough, know enough, and yet you're willing to take that step of faith and walk it out anyway, you realize that God's grace is upon you and he got you through. He got you through that situation where it would have been very easy just to give up, or very easy just to accept that, man, you know, in my weakness, you know, I'm nothing. But with God, we can do all things because he strengthens us. Common activities. We had a lot of question and answer with the leaders. We trained in one another ministry. We counseled. And an interesting thing that happened each time, and I don't know why this is, but in every place that we were at, all 4 locations, actually there was a few more locations than that, there was a guitar. And I don't understand why. I mean, I do know why now, but the thing is, they didn't use it in worship. Only the last team had a guitarist on their worship team. All the others, just, it was like this guitar was around. And I didn't think about this, I didn't do this, but you know, I like to lead worship, and that's one way God is utilized. And so, the first place we were at, it was a retreat center kind of thing, and I just picked up the guitar and started playing. And I started worshiping, and they started singing along. But I'm singing in English, and they're singing in Russian, and it works. And I saw that happen every single place that we were. And it wasn't planned, and it wasn't, but it's just the way God seemed to do it. We stayed in apartments, okay? I didn't see a hotel over there. And they wouldn't have been, the apartments weren't really big enough to house us, but what they would do is there were people that had apartments, these Soviet era flats, you know, just kind of like great big apartment buildings that just went up. And so everywhere we were at, Seth and I stayed in an apartment. And they had food there. They supplied us well. We just weren't there very much. And I'm sorry, my Ukrainian brothers and sisters that are watching this, but I never sat in a chair or lay in a bed that was comfortable for me in the Ukraine. Okay? It just didn't get it, okay? The first place we were at is a place called Sumy. And Sumy was a retreat center. They sang to us when we arrived. First time I've ever been sung to. Okay? We walk up and they're singing. A couple of them are in the traditional dress. We ordained the pastor there, Pastor Galina. We had many councils, just people come doing. We were able to pray into. There was also a church plant that they're doing. They have a cell group in a village, and Pastor Galina goes to this village once a week. It's about a 40-minute drive. And it's the English translation of this village's name is Unshakable. Okay, so she went to Unshakable. And in that, we saw two conversions. We saw two people come to Jesus. We saw several healings that happened in that meeting. Probably one of the most important things that happened in Sumy is the last night that we were there, we had an evening meeting with their leadership team. And led them in a time of group forgiveness and healing and restoration, deliverance. It was a powerful thing. And we went to bed. We got up that night, that morning. We had to be at a place at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we had a 6-hour minibus ride out and about and through the country to Dnipro, or Kamianski was the second place. That's another time that when I got there, it was like we got there in the afternoon. The eating wasn't quite ready yet. And so I got the guitar that was sitting up front, and we had about a 45-minute impromptu worship time, which was pretty cool. Just the presence of God was really, really strong there. It was like it seemed to build as we continued to go. Again, there was a lot of question and answers. People's with questions, things. I'm just sitting there. We ate. We sat around the table for 3 hours. And I had the guitar. And I'm kind of just playing in the background softly. And they're asking questions and we're joking. And I'm answering and Seth is answering. And it was just really good. This group was a lot younger. Many of the, all the groups were young. But a lot of the leadership was in their mid-20s in this group. The pastor is probably she's about 45. But she's done a good job at raising up new leaders. Again, we saw two conversions. There were many, many councils. There's a couple that sticks out, but this one girl had been sexually abused. And actually she had been sexually, I don't understand how this works, but she had been sexually abused, ended up marrying the guy. And now she's divorced from the guy, never received any kind of healing or anything. And this girl was one that literally saw Jesus. And it was powerful what Jesus, just the healing that Jesus brought in that situation. Their worship, This was a place of intense worship. The way that they did their worship was kind of interesting. You know, we have the benefit of teams and a lot of different people. They would have like a keyboard with a computer and a couple of singers. And they actually did really, really well because they were able to fade from one song to the next, and they were able to, you know, but they had worship team in a box, okay? And they knew how to do that. Most of the places, that's what they had, at least that we were at. Again, we had two conversions at Kamianski. They had two satellite cells as well. They had their main congregation, and then they had two satellites in towns about 30 minutes away. We had a Saturday night worship service. We ordained the pastor there. And this was our first overnight train ride. We left, I think it was about 11. It was about a four-hour ride until 3 in the morning. And this was going to a place called Pokrovsk, okay? Pokrovsk is about 20 miles, 25 miles from where the Russians are occupying the eastern part of Ukraine, okay? Technically, they're still at war. They had commandeered the hospital, and so they didn't, they commandeered the schools. So nobody had gone to school for 2 years there. And they really didn't have hospital facilities for the population, for the civilians. But that's just life there. This was a more depressed area than the others. But again, we were greeted with singing, second time, okay? And we were greeted with singing. This group was prayers. They were worshipers. They were intercessors. They had all-night prayer meetings. Literally, some of them basically lived at the facility. And the facility that they had was an abandoned orphanage. And they were there, and they didn't know how long they were going to stay there. They'd been there for like 3 years. Again, there was a couple of conversions. Seth and our translator disappeared. We were getting ready to leave because we had to go to the next place, and they just disappeared somewhere. And so we're waiting on them. And so I'm getting irritated. And it's like, come on, you know, we don't have all day. We've got to catch this minibus that's going to Zaporizhia. All right. And so they disappeared. So I go walking in and walk upstairs, and where they have their sanctuary kind of thing. Here was Seth and the translator were ministering to this young man. I'm thinking, okay, this is fine. So I turn around and walk back down and said, I can be patient, because they ended up leading that young man to the Lord. And we saw a really radical deliverance here. Things that were a part of another woman's life for generations. God did some very powerful things. A five-hour ride to Zaporizhia. And you can see these places. If you look on the map, they may be spelled just a little different because everybody kind of spells them in English a little different, but it's the same place. The people in our fourth place was Zaporizhia. They were more focused on doctrine. But we saw God do some really cool things here. Again, a lot of counsels, a lot of God healing people emotionally and doing things like that. We saw three conversions there, people come to the Lord. But they have three congregations that are pastored by a husband and wife team of pastors. The husband pastors the bigger congregation. The wife, who is actually the senior leader, she pastors in the two other congregations, one in Zaporizhia, the other is in Metapolo. And so I spent a day in each congregation. In Melitopol, these are the ones with the cherries, okay? And so we get down there, and it's probably a group of maybe 20. And so we began to pray for people and have these councils. And a woman came, and she said, I want you to pray for my hands. And her job, we would probably say she had carpal tunnel, okay? Her hands, I forget what she was, some kind of switchboard operator for some company or something like that, I'm not sure. But anyway, she had arthritis and she was going to need to get surgery if nothing changed. And so we began to pray for her hands. And we prayed for her hands. And I said, has anything changed? And she said, a little bit. And so we prayed again. And I said, has anything changed? She said, well, yeah. And she said, is it complete? And I said, so we prayed a third time. And God just took away all the pain and healed it. Okay? Now, the reason I know this, too, is that 2 days later, she gave testimony publicly to this in a celebration service that they had. And about 2 weeks ago, I got testimony that she went to the doctor, and now there's no hint of arthritis in her hands at all. You know, I'm just an ordinary guy, but God said he would overshadow me. At another council, same day. A woman comes, and she has this boutique, I think. She sells, like, swimwear, beachwear, that kind of thing. And Metaltopo is almost to the Black Sea or to whatever that sea is. And it's a borders on a little inlet that comes up. So it's a kind of a resort kind of thing. And she said, I just wonder if I'm doing the right thing. I said, why? And she said, well, because people come to all the shops around me, but they don't come to my shop. And she said, I just don't know what to do. I just think maybe I need to find something else to do. And I said, well, now, wait a minute, you know. So she wanted me to pray for God's direction. Okay. So I said, well, okay, you're not going to do anything. You've already bought your inventory, right? And she sort of grinned and she said, yeah. So you're not just going to give that away. She said, no. So you're in it for the season. She said, yeah. So we prayed. We said, Lord, you know, I said, bring customers in, Lord. I actually released, according to Hebrews 1:14, ministering spirits or angels are there for us to serve God's people. So I've started to use those things, or those beings, if you will. And I said, ministering spirits, go and cause customers to come in. And so we prayed, and again, she called back the next day, the next evening, she came to the service and said, how was today? And she said, we had the best day we've ever had. She said, we were busy from morning to night. It really saved her season. Okay? And she gave public testimony to that. Just things like that that God is concerned about. We had another radical deliverance there. This man was about a young man, 26, 27, something like that, had been a pastor, but had some really deep generational kinds of things that had gone on. And as we ministered, God took him and the Holy Spirit began to show him things that we took authority over, things that went back probably 5, 6 generations that he was still influenced by. How many of you know that the things that our great-great-grandfathers have done can influence you and me? Do you realize that? There's 3 different, 4 different places where it talks about the sins of the fathers. Does that mean that we're responsible for them? No, but it means that we can be influenced by those things. And so we began to take authority over those things, and he came away free. So that evening, that was in like the afternoon, he stayed around. And he stayed around for the service. His girlfriend came, and they were going to get married in a week, but she wasn't saved. She ended up giving her life to the Lord that night, which was one of the most awkward things I did, because we had one translator and 2 of us ministered, and Seth took her and basically led her to the Lord, and he needed the translator to go. I'm leading a service, and they're worshiping, and I'm just standing up there. They can't understand me. I can't understand them. Hallelujah. God has a sense of humor. Okay? But that was in Metaltopo. In Niparude, which was the center place, the place of the bigger, there was lots of young leaders there. And how many of you remember Seth? Okay? Seth has a prophetic gift. I can, you know, really what I'm doing is talking about God, but I kind of threw him under the bus. Okay? I really did. Because the pastor came to us and said, we want you to prophesy over other people and call them out. All right? You know, have you ever been in a service like that where Seth, and I said, Seth, are you ready to do this? And he turned and he looked at me. He said, sure, why not? And so he turned. And you know what? God worked. I don't know how many, I mean, he probably prophesied over 10, 12 different people, different families. There was this one lady that was there, and God said, I see you're here, but I see that there's relationship issues with you and your daughter and your mother, I think it was. And I think God is saying that it's time that you talk about those things and deal with that stuff. It's been too long. And the woman kind of looked God and says, does that resonate with you? Or, do you understand what I'm saying? She said, yeah, they're here. My daughter's here, my mother's over here, and, we haven't talked for years, but, and so that night, there was reconciliation in the family. All because a prophetic word identified what was going on. And sometimes that's what it takes to get us off, out of our chairs, and to actually do something with what we know God has done. Seth did great. Seth was just a help. In Zaporizhia, they had these three congregations. They met together, in a Saturday kind of celebration kind of thing. We ordained both leaders there. And it was just a good time, good service. There were a number of different things that happened. But one of the best things that happened was after the service. I say after the service because the service didn't really end. It was like they always eat together when they get together. So they have their time, they eat together. But we had closed out the service, and I just had come down to the front, was kind of getting my stuff together, putting my backpack. And the worship team was actually starting to break down, okay? So we didn't have this spiritual atmosphere and that kind of thing. Somebody came up to me, and I forget which one this was, but anyway, the leader, the pastor comes up and says, will you pray for this person? I said, sure, why not? That's what I'm here for. And so we began to pray for people, and I think we probably prayed for 6, 7, 8 different people that had come up. There was a woman that couldn't hear. Now, I think she'd been able to hear. Her literally said, I need my ears to be opened. And so I just, I'm tired. I'm feeling very unspiritual. And so I just put my fingers up into her ears. I say, in Jesus' name, unstop her ears. And she went away hearing. Okay? We had two people that had back issues whose backs were healed. And what was really cool is watching their faces when the pain left. That was kind of neat to see that. We had a woman that came up. And see, I was by myself in this one. Okay, Seth had already gone home. He left on that Saturday. He had needed to be back to his congregation for Sunday. This was like on that Saturday. He had already left. And another woman had a noise in her head that was just kind of constant. I don't know exactly what that is, but prayed for her, and that left. Just things like that. It was all very natural. One of the best things that happened during that particular time was we had 6 different kids that parents brought up. This is after the service. After the worship team, there's all kinds of noise and stuff. And they wanted us to pray over or wanted me to pray over their children. And so I basically prayed over the children. Some of them prayed for healing, but I dedicated them all to the Lord. Do you realize the importance of dedicating your children to the Lord? There's a protection that happens. And so I began to see God do those kinds of things. It was all very natural. There was no force, no hype. The key, though, is God said, I will overshadow you. And the key to that is you have to be aware of that reality. God can be overshadowing you, but if you go aware of it, if you're not conscious of it, you're just going to go about your life as you always have. If you go about your life with an understanding and awareness that God, because He is God and you're His son or daughter, He is overshadowing you based on His presence in you and wanting to work through you, you go with a different idea and understanding of where is God taking me today? What does He want me to do today? Who does He want me to minister today? And you become very conscious of that the whole time. I saw God do more things like this trip than I think I ever have. And I've been asked a couple of times the questions, why don't we see it here? That's a very good question. And I don't know if I have the total answer. But I will say this. I think, first off, I don't think we need them to happen as much. If I get sick, the first thing I do is try to figure out myself what's going on and go get medicine from CVS or Walgreens. Or I go to the doctor, and we have great medical people. My son's studying to be a doctor. Nothing wrong with the doctors. But we don't need them as much. The second thing, but this is deeper, because I really don't think we believe anything's going to happen. If you knew, without a shadow of a doubt, if you knew that if you actually laid hands on that person's shoulder and prayed for them to be healed and they would be healed, if you had no doubt at all, how many of you would do that? Probably all of us would. You know, my wife needs healing. My son needs healing. My grandson needs healing, whatever. Well, I want to alleviate their problem. So if I knew that all I needed to do was pray and lay hands on them and speak healing over them and I could see them healed, we would all do it. But the problem is we don't really believe that that will happen. What does it say in the Bible? It says, if you will believe and not doubt. Too many times we say, well, if God wants to do this, that's fine. But we're not taking and have nothing invested in it. And one of the things that God confirmed as I was ministering over there, I knew God was going to move. Why? Because he assured me he was going to overshadow me. And he reminded me of that in an ongoing way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. All you need to do is get in between. You're the co-between between me and my power and the person that needs it. And that's all we are as ministers. We're just go-betweens, messengers. His power, his purpose to the person who needs. I knew. I just knew I was going to see things. I just knew God would move. But we need to know that same thing. But the third thing is, and that's why we hesitate to step out and minister in faith. That is something God wants to change. What does God want to do through you? How does he want to overshadow you? And maybe it's not to do a miracle. What shadow are you casting when you get home from work at 5:30 in the evening? Are you casting a good shadow to your wife or to your husband or to your kids? Or are you casting a shadow that says, you know what, I don't know if God's overshadowing me or not, but I sure am feeling lousy and you're going to know about it. I mean, you know. We cast a shadow in a lot of different ways. So this morning, I want to just challenge you, encourage you. Be aware. God wants to overshadow you. He is overshadowing you. Take the risk. It's always a risk to step out in faith. I've thought about it every time I prayed for somebody. God, what happens if you don't do anything? And yet I knew that God had said, I will overshadow you. So I said, you know what, Lord? It's up to you. This is your son. This is your daughter. This is the person you want to minister to. It's not about me. It's not about my reputation. It's not about anything other than you doing what you have promised to do. Now let's stand together. Wait the worship team to come. I didn't want to do this necessarily, but I feel like that if you would like prayer, then I want to pray for you. And so we want to have a ministry time here. It doesn't have to be a long ministry time. And I don't tend to pray long for people. I don't like, you know, it's like if God's going to do it, he'll do it. The Bible says in Matthew 16, it says that, and God will, you know, that the prayer of the sick will recover. And sometimes it's instantaneous, sometimes it isn't. That's okay. It's up to God. The question is, are we willing to be obedient? And so this morning, I want to be obedient. So as we worship, You know, I've probably quoted this scripture before, but in Psalm 22:3, it says that the God inhabits, some translations say, is enthroned on the praises of his in our midst. In other words, there's an aspect that as we worship, it allows the presence of God to come and sit in our midst. And when his presence comes, he is the one that brings the change. He is the one that brings the healing. Mm-hmm. But I want to be obedient this morning and pray. And so we'll just worship here and we'll minister.